Listen to KSL for the new and traditional content you've always loved. There's the new Inside Sources, expanded from 9 to noon, and new expanded news coverage with Maria Chaleos on midday, noon to 3. And of course, the news and weather from voices you love, mornings and afternoons. Here are new traditions and the familiar ones on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Protests globally against Tesla dealerships because
it's Cougar Sports Saturday.
It's complete and another touchdown!
Cougar Sports Saturday. A presentation of KSL Sports. KSL Sports.
Left wing for three.
He got it again!
BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans for Cougar fans. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On Utah's legacy home of the Cougars. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Hour number two is off and running here on Cougar Sports Saturday. Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte with you. Not going to lie, it's hard to watch March Madness now when the team gets bounced out. But
yes,
I am enjoying the women's basketball tournament, TCU. Or they're playing Notre Dame right now.
Did you take any comfort in Kentucky's double-digit loss?
I didn't take comfort in that.
You know that most BYU fans did.
Absolutely,
though.
They did.
Nate, did you take comfort in that? Okay, he did.
What I find most amusing, though, is Arkansas Sweet 16, BYU Sweet 16, Kentucky Sweet 16. So the banter continues. Which team got the upper hand? Everyone ended with the same, landing spot, Sweet 16. So no one can officially say.
Of those three, who do you think got the upper hand heading into next year?
I'm covering it firsthand. I'd say BYU, because I feel like Kevin Young is becoming a trendsetter.
Yep.
Where you're seeing hires in college basketball, Florida State,
Utah,
where they're taking on the NBA approach. It was interesting. This is a side note. In Newark, Arizona was there. Tommy Lloyd on the Wednesday before the Sweet 16 round. So media talks to the coaches and players the day before the games. Tommy Lloyd said in his press conference, when asked about NIL and rev share, he said, "We're always going to treat our guys like college athletes still. We're not going to run this like the pros." I'm paraphrasing, but it was almost like he referenced that running things like the NBA, this is still college. These are still young people mentally, and they're not NBA guys yet. Yes, the money's increased. Again, I'm paraphrasing, but I thought it was interesting when he said that because – like BYU's leaning in to the NBA approach. I think a lot of colleges are very intrigued by what KY and BYU's doing. But what I will say, though, with Kevin Young that's so different than a lot of places, that he was very intrigued by the BYU job. We all know this. And that, I think is just really excited about the potential of taking BYU to heights they've never before reached. And I think that's just exciting, is that he's shown – to Cougar fans that in year one, he's given that hope that with a team, and I feel like the talent level is only going to continue to improve. This year was great. It was an incredible team, and it was a very talented team. But I think Kevin Young's going to build some amazing teams in his BYU coaching career, and I think there's better days ahead for BYU hoops.
Can I just say, though, since we're on the tangent, you can't just nab any old NBA assistant and expect the same result that BYU's getting. I think what's getting lost in the BYU narrative, Kevin Young, he deserves a lot of credit. But equally, I think the administration under Tom Holmo, and I would even say the Board of Trustees' willingness to meet the financial requirements to compete at the highest level, Mitch, that has had just as big of an impact as Kevin Young. Not every university is going to inspire their donor base and their fan base and have the wherewithal to do what BYU is doing. So I would just caution, not every single one of these is going to pan out. There's a lot that goes into it. You have to have the right head coach. He's got to have the right temperament. You got to have the financial support to build the staff that he's built. I mean, even in the Alabama when I was looking at benches, Alabama, BYU has had the bigger bench versus every single team they've played all season long. They may have one of the biggest staffs in all of America. So it's not just grab an NBA assistant coach and model it like the pros. Like, there's a lot more to that. And that's not to say it won't work at Utah. That won't say it won't work at Florida State. But those universities, they need to inspire the donor base. They need to flush out a staff that goes far beyond the on-court assistants. You got to have, because at BYU, they've got NBA nutritionist. They got NBA film room coordinators. It's not just Kevin Young. Yeah. And so it is setting a trend. I just wonder, you know, maybe Tommy Lloyd's right. Maybe in some cases you have to buck the trend and do something different. I think there's room for all of it, but not everyone is going to succeed that tries to follow the pro model.
I agree. And I think what's exciting for BYU basketball heading into portal season and roster construction season, and I think that's why Cougar fans should be really excited about this upcoming offseason. One, Kevin Young's going to have the full offseason to focus on BYU. He's not juggling an NBA job. He doesn't have to juggle hirings, assuming he retains his staff. You know, maybe he's going to have to hire someone. It's plausible.
Hold on. Time out, though. On that note, Brandon Dunson made a surprise return to the socials.
Yeah, he's been...
Is he back?
He's occasionally been posting on socials throughout the recent weeks. No official word on him. It's just
he made
been
it sound like he was coming back.
It's been a classified family deal. So, but yeah, that would be great to have Brandon Dunson back, because he was incredibly close to the recruitment on AJ DeBanza. Like, right. He was the guy.
And he got Elijah Crawford.
Yes. But you think about this with BYU basketball. You go to an offseason, NIL money, check. You got people at ESPN, Medcalf, who interviewed that booster, said, you're not going to outbid us. He's then saying they got the biggest NIL war chest. Again, that's all speculation. But you know what? Hey, BYU's competitive. Kevin Young said that on the record. They're competitive. So they got that. Player development, check with Kevin Young, with Richie Saunders.
Absolutely.
Program with NBA connection, you laid that out. They're in a big-time league, power conference. Big 12's got two teams in the Elite Eight. Huge fan base. Successful coach in college now. Kevin Young can now say to guys, I'm winning already here at the college level. We got to the Sweet 16 at a program that had not done that in 14 years.
He was signing players in the summer.
So they've got the whole package to offer now.
Yes.
What's holding them back? And that's why I feel very excited about the future of BYU hoops and what they can do from a personnel standpoint in building out next season's roster and the years to come. And they're going to be competitive every single year because of all those things I laid out. To have success in year one, that's huge, because Kevin Young now can hop on the Zoom call, can talk to an agent, and just be like, this is what we're doing. We got this package. This is the starting point. This, if you like it, you want to be a part of this, we're going to take it to a higher level. Come be part of it. So I just think that there's nothing holding them back from building a pretty big-time program. It's just a matter of, can they close the gap with the Houstons, the Bamas, the Auburns, the Dukes? That's what they're climbing for, and that's what they're going to go try and chase.
I am very interested to see which guys they end up bringing in. They need to upgrade the talent. There's no doubt about that. They need higher-end talent to compete at the highest levels. However, you got to bring in the right guys for the right reasons, because I think a very underrated part to this year's team was that actually did feel like the best locker room in America.
Yeah.
We heard that statement a lot in the Pope era, and it really was only true like one of the years.
The first year.
We heard it. That's an important piece. I think you have to have that. You look at that Alabama team, and this is why, look, I want to go into the portal. I want to bring in some talent. But I want to retain as much of this roster as possible, because you look at that Alabama team, they added for sure from the portal, but there was a lot of carryover from the previous year. Mark Sears, Grant Nelson, and others. So it's a fine line. It's a fine line between continuity, chemistry, and talent. And it's going to be interesting to see how Kevin Young navigates that.
Well, let's look at that roster potentially next year. Dawson Baker, look at him. I bring him up first because he'll be a senior next year. Dallin Hall will be a senior next year. Richie Saunders, Kaba Keita, Mihailo Boskovic, that's your seniors. Yegor Demon would be a sophomore if he ran it back. Same with Cannon Catchings, Elijah Crawford, and Brody Kozlowski. Kozlowski, I'm sure, could potentially, with a medical, because he was banged up.
Yep.
We'll see if he can get an extra year of eligibility. Then you got A.J. DeBanza, Xavion Stanton, and Hadim Imbop as your roster. And then there's Max Triplett, Townsend Triple, Jared McGregor. Again, I don't know how that would work with 15 spots. You know, it's a very delicate situation there. But, you know,